May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I guess as I read through, I thought the summary would be, well, if we believe in Jesus, then what next? So I started looking at the Pollock and the Old Testament, and it makes me smile sometimes. And like what I said, my own behavior of, make sure I ate, but didn't even think to bring one can for others. And I thought to myself, the Pollock is good, don't get me wrong, but it says, "Let your continual mercy, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church, because it cannot continue in safety without your help. Protect and govern it always by your goodness." We're always asking God to forgive us. We're always asking God for mercy. We're always asking God for help and protection and for his goodness, because we know he is. We know he's going to be that way. And we know we can just turn to him at any point in our lives, and he'll be there with open arms. But do we remember ourselves, if we believe in Jesus, to do the same? Do we have mercy on others? Do we help protect and keep the church in unity and safety? Are we good? Do we try to be as good as we possibly can throughout each and every day with each and every person, even those that annoy the heck out of us, every single moment of every single day? And then we get to Exodus. And I love this. The Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And throughout all the Old Testament we hear, even Moses says they were stiff-necked. They were pagans. They were always grumbling. They were whining. They were never content. They were never satisfied with what the Lord was doing. And as soon as God would do something and everything was, you hear that phrase, hunky dory, then the next week if something just a little bit went wrong, oh my gosh, you've left us, where are you? We need this, we need that. They were continually self-absorbed. Why are they God's chosen? Why were they God's chosen? Because they recognized God. They recognized the one true God, the creator of all mankind, everything in the universe. So then what happens? Moses, of course, tells God, and then God says, well, no, I'm going to go back to that complaint, because this is important. They even complained to Moses that, well, you brought us out of the wilderness to kill us, with hunger. We should have stayed back there. We would have died in slavery. We would have died in the hand of the Lord, but we wouldn't have been hungry. So what happens next? Moses tells God, and God says, all right, don't worry about it, but there's going to be a little bit of a test of obedience and a learning for my people to see if they're content, if they're okay with enough. And God knows what enough is. We sometimes go overboard. We don't settle for enough. So God says, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have heard the complaining of the Israelites, so tell them, all right, you're going to have meat. And God did. He rained down a bunch of quail. And you're going to have bread. And he did. The manna from the heaven, the bread of angels, as the psalm said. And he provided enough. But the Israelites, and sometimes us, we have a tendency to always want more. No matter what we have, we always seem to sometimes want more. So then we get to the gospel. And we can't fool God, and we can't fool Jesus. He knew their motives, and he knows our motives. Sometimes we're good and have good motives, sometimes not. And so he tells them straight off. He says, you're looking for me not because basically I'm the Messiah, I'm healing your friends and your neighbors and your family. You're looking to me. You're coming to me. You're trying to find me because you wanted more to eat. We can't fool the Lord. We can even fool ourselves into thinking we're better than we are. But we can't fool God. So all these lessons, give us and forgive the tongue. Food for God. So Jesus warns us, but he also teaches and guides us. He says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. So what does that mean? What is the work of God's people? The work of God's people is to believe in Jesus. To believe in Jesus. That is the work of God. And so, first and foremost, we're to work for the Lord. It doesn't mean we can't work to have fine homes or food or clothing or, get some possessions. As long as the possessions and the food and the homes and the cars and all, this is the first thing in our life. The first, most important part of our life is to work for God. And that's to believe in Jesus and work for Jesus. And so what happens? St. Paul, who I know I always say this, but boy, he went from being a murderer to following Jesus like I don't think anyone has ever done. And so he says to his people and to us today, he gives us the way to work for the Lord, the way to work for Jesus. He says, I beg you. His friends, his family, those people were so important. He was begging them, follow a life and lead a life worthy of the calling to which you are called. Jesus calls each and every one of us, and he gives us gifts to do. But as we do the gifts that are listed down here, we're to do them in humility. We're to be humble, no attitude. No attitude. We are to be gentle, not arrogant, not rude, but gentle. We're to be patient, not impatient, but patient, even when we're hot. And I'm trying to speed up the sermon, but you all have to be patient, only 2 more minutes. And then we do everything, bearing with each other in love, because that's what Jesus does. He bears with us in love, with us darn good thing. So our work is to work towards the unity, the building up of one another. That's what we're called to do. We're to grow up, not be little kids always bickering and being, well, I want this, be first. No, that's mine, you can't play with that. We're supposed to be mature in Christ so that we can grow together, build up each other in love. So that, like God, we can provide for others, help others, and love others. That's what the church is all about. So God expects us to what? To believe in the Lord and learn how to be content. Because our God really does provide enough.